Thank you, Abby, for that beautiful song. Praise the Lord. Beautiful truth in that song as well. There was a professor that was addressing a group of business students, and he told them he was going to give them a quiz. He pulled out a gallon-sized mason glass jar, and in that jar, he started to put fist-sized rocks, as many fist-sized rocks that he could fit in that jar. Once the jar was full of those rocks, he asked the class, "Is the jar full?" And the class said, "Yes." And he said, "Wrong." He took out a bucket under his desk of gravel, small gravel, and poured it in. It filled out around the bigger rocks until it was full of gravel and bigger rocks. And he says, "Is it full now?" They were catching on to this quiz, and they said, "Probably not." This time he picked up a bucket of sand, poured sand in there, and it filtered around the gravel and around the rocks. And he said, "Is it full?" And they said, "No." Took a pitcher of water, began to pour water in there until it was full of water. And he asked the class, "What is the lesson taught by this illustration? And the one student raised his hand and said, "Well, it means no matter how busy you are, you can always fit something else in." And the professor said, "Wrong. The lesson is, if you don't get the big rocks in first, you won't get them in." It's a lesson about priorities. What are the priorities in our life? What are the big rocks that we need to make sure we get in our lives so they don't get crowded out? The priority of our lives. And Jesus is going to talk about that when he visits a home of his friends, Martha and Mary, in Bethany, outside of Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he often would stay with this family there. And there, he's going to teach them the importance of sitting at Jesus' feet. And that is the big rock that we need to make sure we get into our lives so it doesn't get crowded out with all the other things. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Would you stand to honor God's word this morning? It says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her.'" Lord, thank you for your word. And we pray today that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message that you have for us today. So we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In this story, there's a contrast between two sisters, Martha and Mary. They are very different from each other. They are both wonderful ladies, have a lot of things good things about them. In this story, Martha is busy cooking dinner for the group, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. They're both doing good things, but Mary, Jesus said, has chosen the more important thing. And it's a lesson for us today, because if I was to take a survey, I have a hunch that most of us would relate more with Martha than we would with Mary. Most of us would be more like the ones that just like to get out there and serve and work and get busy and do things, and it might be a little harder just to sit at Jesus' feet and to be quiet and be still and work on that relationship with him. Notice in this story, Martha's not doing anything wrong. She's just missing out on something better that God has for her. So we're going to look at a contrast between these sisters. Just to let you know, the purpose is not to beat up on Martha's today, okay? I am a Martha. I relate with Martha a lot in this story. This has been a difficult sermon for me because I've had to deal with it myself this week, because it's really easy for me just to get going serving the Lord and maybe not spend the time I need to spend with the Lord. sitting at Jesus' feet. So let's look at these two ladies for a minute, a contrast. Let's talk about Martha. Martha's an amazing woman. She had many admirable qualities, many admirable qualities. She was really an amazing person, Martha is. Let's look at some of those. She was a giving person. It says Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. They stop off at the home of, it says, Martha, Martha's house. Martha opened up her home. So Martha is probably the oldest one in the family. She lives with her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus. And their home is 2 miles outside of Jerusalem in Bethany. It'll become a very frequent stopping place for Jesus and his disciples when they're on the way to Jerusalem. And Mary is a giving person. It's not easy to have Jesus and all of his 12 disciples just come and stay, right? Have you ever had 13 people just show up? And there's probably more than 13 because other people follow Jesus. But Martha is a very giving person. She opens up her home, does a meal for them. She's taking care of them. It must have been a big enough home to take care of these people. She's a real giving person. She's also a courageous person. Courageous person. Because at this time in history of Jesus on earth, he's a wanted man. The religious leaders want him dead. They want him dead. They want to kill him. They want to arrest him. They want to kill him. He's a wanted man. Martha lives just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. So to associate with Jesus at this point in time is kind of dangerous. But she does it. Word's going to spread. People are going to know Jesus in the area because he does amazing things wherever he goes. She showed great courage. And she was a servant. Martha was a servant. Now, serving is a good thing. Jesus told us to be servants. We need to serve. Praise the Lord for servants. So Martha is not getting trouble for being a servant. She's going to get in trouble for having a bad attitude. She's not going to get in trouble for being a servant, okay? Now, like I told you, I can relate with Martha. I love serving. But the danger is, for me and maybe you, is that we can go out serving the Lord without really sitting at Jesus' feet. Without taking the time to be with Jesus, to work on our relationship with Jesus. And when we do that, we are really going out in our own strength. We're really telling God, in a sense, I'm too busy to talk to you right now. I got things to do for you. If I need you, I'll call. I'll let you know. I got this. We're going out in our own strength, trying to do our own thing. Jesus said, you know, using the illustration of the vine and the branches, if you abide in me and my word abides in me, you'll do great, produce great fruit. But apart from me, you'll do nothing. Nothing. We need to spend time with Jesus and then go serve. Then go serve. The challenge here is about priorities. It's not about not serving. You need to serve. But the priority needs to be sitting at Jesus' feet, spending time with Jesus. Let's talk about Mary for a minute. Mary had a very commendable character. She's an amazing woman as well, this sister of Martha. She loved Jesus greatly. Whenever you see Mary in the scriptures, and we see her 3 times in the Gospels, she's at the feet of Jesus. Every time. When Jesus comes, when her brother Lazarus has died, we find her sitting at the feet of Jesus. In this story, we find her sitting at the feet of Jesus. In John 12, it shows Jesus coming another time, and Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, takes a perfume of expensive perfume and pours it out on his feet. So much so that Judas says, that's a waste. We should have sold it and got some money. And Jesus says, no, she's done a great thing. She has anointed me for my burial. Mary loved Jesus greatly. And another thing about Mary, she wanted to be close to Jesus. Some of the choruses we were just singing a minute ago, draw me close to you. Mary could have sung that song and meant every word of it. You know, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. Mary could have sung that because she believed that that was her. She wanted nothing more than being close to Jesus. She's with him, sitting at his feet. That's pretty close, isn't it? She didn't know anything about social distancing. She didn't know anything about personal space, you know, sitting right at Jesus' feet. Now, rabbis in that day did not even allow women to be in the room when they were teaching, much less at their feet. They would never allow a woman to sit at their feet when they were teaching, but Jesus welcomed women. He taught women, and he's welcoming, and he lets Mary sit right at his feet. Her example speaks to me. We will be as close to Jesus as we want to be. He's not holding anything back from us. He's not hiding. He's not playing any games. He's not tricking us. We'll be as close to Jesus as we want to be. We can sit at his feet. We can draw close to him. Have you ever had an appointment with someone and someone stood you up, didn't show up? Maybe you're supposed to meet them for lunch and you're at the restaurant and you're sitting there and you're waiting. You look on your watch and they don't come. You begin to wonder, should I just leave? Should I just go ahead and order and eat by myself? Wonder what happened to them. They must not care about me very much. And, what were they thinking? And all these thoughts go through your mind, right? You ever done that? I've been in those situations before. Jesus Christ every day wants to spend time with you. Wants to spend time with you. And oftentimes we stand him up. We say, Jesus, don't really have time to be with you today. I got things to go do for you. He wants us to spend time with him. We'll be as close to Jesus as we want to be. Next thing we see about Mary is she intently listened to Jesus. She's sitting at his feet, listening to what Jesus says. Now, she was really listening. The Jewish people, every morning they would repeat the Shema. The Shema is from Deuteronomy 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." The first word of the Shema here is the word Shema. That's where it comes from. That word literally means in Jewish thought, not just to hear the sounds, but to pay attention to the words, to focus on the words, to respond to the word, to obey the word. In fact, in Hebrew language, they don't have a separate word for obey. If they're going to use the word obey, they're going to use Shema. It means listen and obey. That's what Mary's doing. She's listening intently, focusing on Jesus' words, responding to it, ready to obey the words of Jesus. So much so that she doesn't realize her sister's mad at her in the kitchen. She's listening to Jesus, responding to Jesus' words. Jesus said about his words, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." It's worth it to listen to the words of Jesus. Their spirit and their life. Well, we're going back to Martha for a minute because even though we're not beating up on Martha today, she has some things to work on, which means we have some things to work on because Martha's problems could be your problems and mine. First, she was distracted from being with Jesus. She was distracted by all the preparations that needed to be made. Distracted means to be overoccupied, to be drawn away. Now, we might be tempted to defend Martha here, and I've tried to do this. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't try to defend yourself here. Listen to the word. She was distracted from being with Jesus. Now, she's doing a good thing. She's fixing dinner, but the Son of God is in her home. The Messiah is there. She's doing a good thing fixing dinner, but the better thing is to spend time with Jesus, right? Do you ever struggle with distractions? I know sometimes when I pray, I get distracted. Thoughts come in my mind, things I need to do, things I need to do, and pretty soon I'm just saying, I better go do that right now and leave the prayer time to go do the thing that I got distracted with. It's so easy to be distracted by busyness of life, things that we have to do. We have to be careful to take the time to be with Jesus. Jesus said these words, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Doesn't that look like what we want, what we need, that rest for our souls? Come to me, he says. Don't be distracted. Take the time to be with Jesus. Martha also had to work on something because she had a bad attitude toward her sister. You get the very clear idea. She's not happy with Mary. You can almost see the daggers being thrown across the room by her eyes, looking at her sister sitting there listening to Jesus while she is slaving in the kitchen for cooking dinner for at least 13 people and maybe probably a lot more. She's upset because Mary doesn't see the situation as she sees it. Martha sees the dinner as being the most critical thing. Mary sees sitting at Jesus' feet being the most critical thing. And so she's upset. Martha is having a pity party. And you know what the problem with a pity party is? No one wants to come. And she ended up being all alone and frustrated, disappointed, and you get a bad attitude. And that's what she's struggling with, a bad attitude. Martha's also frustrated with Jesus. She's actually upset with Jesus. She goes to him. Now picture this scene. Jesus is teaching. He's teaching. Martha has the nerve to go interrupt him in the middle of his teaching and say, Lord, don't you care that I'm doing all this by myself? My sister's not helping me. Don't you care? See, when you're distracted from what's really important, you end up getting discouraged and you get frustrated that people aren't helping you the way you think they should help you. She feels like Jesus should help her out. And she complains, don't you care? Have you ever said that to God? Don't you care? Remember Elijah, after he had won that great battle on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal, just 24 hours after that, he gets a death threat from Queen Jezebel and he's scared and he runs away and hides. And basically he tells God, God, don't you care? And God tells him to take a nap and eat some food, and God takes care of him and he's restored. Have you ever been frustrated with God? You ever think, God, why aren't you doing what I want you to do? Why aren't you helping me like I think you should help me? And oftentimes the problem comes because we're not spending time with Jesus. The better we know him, the less we're going to doubt him. The better we know him, the less we're going to doubt him. The more time you spend with him, the better you're going to know him. And the less you're going to be frustrated by what isn't happening or is happening. She also, Martha, put her value in what she did. I'm reading between the lines here a little bit. But because of her response or in her attitude here, you really get the idea that she's really caught up in her self-esteem being about what she does. I'm a servant, and I'm going to show Jesus how much I love him. I'm going to fix this great meal for him. She thought her value was in being productive, but Jesus wanted her to know that her value was just because of who she was. And she was one of his family, a child of God. You see, the kingdom of God is a paradox. While the world applauds achievement, God desires companionship. The world clamors, do more, be all you can be, but our Father whispers, be still and know that I am God. See, we can fall into this performance trap where we feel like we have to prove our love to God by doing great things for him. And we skip spending time with him because we're too busy trying to prove our love for him. He wants us to know that we are loved just because he loves us. And yes, we can go serve him out of love, not to prove our love. Our value comes to us from the fact that we are his children. Jesus told his disciples when they came back and they were so excited about what they did, he said, however, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's what you should be really excited about. That's what you should get your self-esteem from, that you're a child of God, not by what you do for God. Another thing about Martha, She tried to tell Jesus what to do. This woman is quite bold. She reminds me kind of a female version of Peter, the disciple. I think she's going to regret some of the things she says. She's already interrupted Jesus. She's already told Jesus, don't you care? And now she says, tell my sister to help me. She's telling the Son of God what to do. I don't advise that. Have you ever tried to tell God what to do? Now, I know we can pray and ask God for things, but we always surrender and yield to His will. God is God. We're not. We can't tell Him what to do. We can't order God around. She was trying to order God around, tell Him what to do. Nothing about Martha, she's harboring worry. Jesus looked at Martha and says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. And that's so true. Worry is kind of like fog. Physical fog may seem dense and almost solid, but scientists tell us that a fog bank 100 feet deep covering 7 city blocks is composed of less than 1 glass of water. Divided into billions of tiny droplets, it hasn't much substance, yet it has the power to shut down a complete city. So it is with anxiety. Our mind disperses the problem into billions of fear droplets, obscuring God's face. Taking our anxiety to the Lord is often the last thing we think of when we are spiritually fogged in, yet it is only the Son that has the power to disperse it. So when we're worried, we need to come to Him. Oswald Chambers said, all our fret and worry is caused by calculating without God. The scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This wonderful peace. So Martha needed to learn about worry. I love Jesus' response to Martha in this story. Jesus reaches out in love to Martha. He doesn't respond in kind. He doesn't argue with Martha. He doesn't put her down. He doesn't get angry with her. He loves Martha. He goes, Martha, Martha. He's trying to help Martha. He's trying to help her understand what she's missing and what she isn't seeing. He knows what she's going through. He knows what's going on in her life, and he reaches out to her. What he's offering her is an intimate relationship. An intimate relationship. When Martha was complaining about her sister Mary, Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken from her. You see, in her effort to set a fancy table for Jesus and his disciples, she nearly missed the real banquet. And the real banquet was sitting at the feet of Jesus, getting to know Jesus. It's not that Martha did anything wrong in fixing dinner, except for her bad attitude. She was missing out what was better. The good robbed her of what was best. There is nothing more important than our relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing more important. Jesus said in the high priestly prayer in John 17, he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Know there means a personal knowledge. Eternal life. We talk a lot about the eternal part, but the life part is the relationship. A relationship that's going to last forever. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life. There's a story told of a man who left the old country and wanted to sail to America many years ago on a ship to start a new life. His father met him at the dock and put some money into his hand. It wasn't much, but it was all the father had, hoping that it would tide the boy over until he got a job in America. Mom kissed him goodbye, and the family said goodbye, and with tears, he headed off and gave his ticket to the porter, checked into the small room on the ship where he would share with several men, and started the journey to America. His mom had packed a pack of food for him, And so when it came to be dinner time, he went up on topside and began to eat his sandwich that his mom packed for him. And he saw the people going into the dining room. And he saw the hot food being served on the tables, and the smell was wonderful. But he was happy with his mom's sandwich. As time went by, he thought to himself, you know, that really looks good in there, but it's got to be really expensive. And I'm going to need my money when I get to America. So he began to keep eating his food, and because it smelled so good, he started eating down his room because he couldn't stand to go up there and smell it and see the food. And he started to get by, but as he got 3 days out of New York, the food supply completely ran out. He didn't have anything left at all. And he was so hungry. He went up to the porter with a bunch of coins in his hand and said, "How much? How much?" And the porter said, "What do you mean? How much for me to eat the meal here?" And the porter was a little confused, and he smiled and he said, "There's no cost for the meals. It's covered with your ticket that you bought to come across on the ship." He'd been living like a pauper when he could eat this great banquet the whole time across. Jesus Christ has paid the price for our salvation. He's made it possible for us to know him in a relationship. There's no reason for us to miss the banquet. There's no reason for us to miss this amazing privilege of knowing Jesus Christ in the closeness that we couldn't hardly imagine. He offers it to us. He's holding nothing back. We must make knowing Jesus Christ the number one priority in our lives. That is the big rock that we need to make sure we get in first. Otherwise, other things are going to crowd it out. Knowing Jesus Christ, the most important part of our lives. Jesus affirms that spending time with him must be top priority. When Martha's complaining about Mary, Jesus said, "Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed." He was pointing to the priority of spending time with him. And it appears that in the other places we see Martha in the gospel, that she gets it. She's always going to be a servant. We see her fixing dinner in other places too. But she's going to learn that she's to sit at Jesus' feet as well, to get to know Jesus and develop this relationship. When Jesus came to the house of Martha and Mary, when their brother Lazarus died and Jesus rose him, he raised him back to life, Martha came to him and said this amazing words. She says, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." She was a believer in Jesus Christ. She believed and made that confession. We need to learn the lesson from Martha. And we need to spend time with Jesus as well. And we do it firstly through listening to his word. When we open up God's word, the Bible, hopefully you understand this. God is speaking to you. You're listening. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read God's word, I've read a chapter or in devotions, and I stop and I go, you know, I don't remember a word I just read. It didn't impact me at all. And I have to refocus and say, okay, Doug, you're going to do it again, and you're going to listen this time. Because sometimes I read without listening. Have you ever done that? Read without listening? We need to really listen to the word of God, like the Shema. Pay attention to, focus, respond to, ready to obey the word. Psalm 19 is an amazing psalm in the Bible, the longest psalm in the Bible. And it has talks about many of the benefits of reading God's word. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Verse 89, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal, stands firm in the heavens." 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." 111, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." And there are probably hundreds of those in Psalm 119, benefits of reading God's word. Spend time with Jesus through listening to his word. We spend time with Jesus through praying, through prayer. Prayer is simply talking with God, and when you talk to someone, you get to know them better, don't you? Often we think of prayer as only getting things from God. Here are my requests. Please help me. But prayer in its primary purpose is to know him. To know him. It's a relationship. You're talking to him. You're listening to him. You're getting to know him through prayer. Kent Hughes says, our lives are like photographic plates, and prayer is like a time exposure to God. As we expose ourselves to God for a half hour, an hour, or perhaps 2 hours a day, his image is imprinted more and more upon us. More and more we absorb the image of his character, his love, his wisdom, his way of dealing with life and people. Spending time with God, sitting at Jesus' feet through prayer. And Jesus is our example. He did this. It says in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, he got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus spent time sitting at the feet of his heavenly Father. Jesus knew he needed to pray and sit at God's feet before he went out and served in his name. He's our example to us. We need to take time to pray. Jesus did it. We need to do it. And we spend time with Jesus through worship. Worship must be primary before work. Mary had a servant's heart, but she needed to come to Jesus first and then go and serve. If we don't, we get ourselves in trouble. Joanna Weaver wrote a book called Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. In this, she says, when we put work before worship, we put the cart before the horse. The cart is important, but so is the horse. The horse must come first, so or we end up pulling the cart ourselves. Frustrated and weary, we can nearly break under the pressure of service, for there's always something that needs to be done. When we first spend time in his presence, when we take time to hear his voice, God provides the horsepower we need to pull the heaviest load. He saddles up grace and invites us to take a ride. That's awesome. The time we spend with Jesus is never wasted time. It's the most important part of our day. We need to find the balance between worship and work, sitting at Jesus' feet and service. In the autumn of 1992, a man named Michael Platt began a journey across the Atlantic Ocean in a yacht, a little sailboat he had. He was an expert sailor. He'd been across it several times before. He bought a boat that he called the Coyote that was so technologically advanced it had all these fancy equipment. It was like no other boat around. So when he left off alone, his support team that followed him by satellite and phone was not worried at all. He had it covered. When a storm came and cut off communication, no one was worried because they knew he had all the equipment he needed and he was an experienced person. When the storm ended and they tried to call him, they couldn't reach him. In fact, they never heard from him again. They called the Coast Guard, sent out helicopters to watch for him. They found the Coyote in the ocean upside down. They never found the sailor ever. They were wondering, why, how did this happen? It was the most fantastic boat around, and those kind of boats are not known to capsize. They have a deep keel and massive rudders, and they right themselves. But this one went down, and what they discovered when they checked it out is for all the advancements that it had and all the technology, the Coyote didn't have enough weight beneath the waterline. There wasn't enough ballast in the bottom of the boat to outweigh the weight of all the gadgets up above. And so it flipped over and lost its ability to balance in the water. And that's a lesson for us. Our lives will capsize if what lies below the spiritual waterline of our lives doesn't outweigh what lies above. No matter how things look good on the surface, it's what's under the water that matters. Spending time with Jesus to give us that strength and balance to serve him. By spending time with Jesus, we fill the holes of our lives with the rich blessings of God. And out of that abundance comes a steadfastness in the storms that will come and an abundance to share with others. If we don't figure this out, church, and continue in a service without relationship with Jesus, we could be in danger. There's a verse that I really don't like very well in the scripture where Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, drive out demons and perform miracles. And then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. In other words, you can go out and serve Jesus without knowing him. And when the day comes, when we stand before Jesus Christ, what's going to matter is not what you did to serve him. What's going to matter is, do you know him? Do you know him? The challenge this morning is pretty clear. Spend time at the feet of Jesus. Read his word. Pray, worship. And then go serve. Then go live the life that he wants to do. But take the time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Some people say, well, I don't have the time to do that. That is a lie. I'm sorry, it's a lie. You have time, you just got to make the time. You've used that time on something else. You can find the time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And we have to do it. We must make it the priority of our lives. The priority of our lives. God will not make us do this. And I certainly can't make you do this. I'm just working on myself. You'd have to work on yourself. And if you're like me, it's really easy in a worship service like this to say, okay, I'm going to do it. Tomorrow's the test when you have to follow through and say, okay, I'm tired. Maybe I'm busy, but I'm going to take some time to spend with Jesus, sit at his feet, read his word, pray, worship him. It's a challenge for you, a good challenge. We're going to sing a song together that I found in preparing the sermon that has just kind of blessed me all week. I've been singing it. It's an old hymn, Setting at the Feet of Jesus. Anybody heard of that hymn? Setting at the Feet of Jesus. Talks about what I've been preaching about, and we're going to sing it together. If you need to come pray this morning, the altar is open. It's a great place for you to come and pray and bring what's on your heart to the Lord. But let's sing this hymn and think about the words and think about it, what it means to us, and make it a priority in your life to spend time with Jesus. Let's stand together and sing this song.